the delegates also extend good morning to the officials from the Department of Transport. We also, the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor, parliamentary staff, and the provincial liaison officers. We have a bit of a problem. We go to have some delay. We have a problem with the quorum, but we have asked an delegate of KZN to join us. As soon as he arrives, then we'll start our meeting. This is another meeting. I had to ask him to come out of the meeting because he's the principal delegate to this meeting. The one that is attending is an alternate. So we must prioritize this one. So as soon as he arrives, we'll formally start with our meeting. Honorable
Chair, because of our programs having to be adapted all the time, I can understand that. But it was my understanding that today is our last meeting for this committee. But we had two reports, which is the report on our oversight on Limpopo and the committee's legacy report that was before us again as well. It was that listed. So I thought that we will deal with that in today's meeting. If you could just clarify for us, please, Chair.
Okay, today what we are going to have, we're dealing first with the final mandate on the National Land Transport Amendment Bill. As soon as we're done with that, then we deal with the legacy report and the two oversight reports, one to Limpopo and the other report, the oversight that we undertook to KZN. So those will be the two reports. We have the reports were sent to members, so I don't think we'll take much time to look at those reports. We've got them being circulated already. It's a question of if members have issues to add or any omissions that they pick up, they are free to add to those.
Sorry, Chair. Can I then propose that we kick off with the oversight report on Limpopo while we're waiting for the Honourable Mteto?
I just hope that you're not going to take the decisions, because the decisions will require 25 provinces at least. But then we can raise the perhaps, and then when we are to take decisions, then we can we defer taking of decisions, but if you want to make comments on the reports, we'll have to do that. Can you suggest that we start with the oversight reports before the legacy?
With your permission, Chair.
Can we then start, which one, Limpopo, the first? Okay. We have copies here. We have a report that has 17 pages. I don't want to go page by page, but just allow members to raise issues that they pick up from the report rather than going page by page. If there are any issues that you want to pick up on the report that you want to raise, or you want me to go page by page. Okay, let me deal with it as if we're dealing with the minutes. On page one, the issue on page one. Page two. The 3. Issues, page 5, page 7, page 12, page 13, page 14, page 15, page 16.
Chair, on page 16, under item 7, the recommendations from the top, the third bullet, they start with the Joint Select Committee. The third line from there, where it says investment to boot job creation. That's not our intention, Chair.
Yeah, to boot. Okay.
Just because it's fundamental, the others I can let.
Yeah, well, it means that you kick out your investment, yet we want to, to boot investment, not to keep them up. Yeah. Okay. Any other correction on page 16? The last page, page 17. And page 18. We, as I indicated earlier, are not going to take a decision on whether to adopt it now at this stage or not until we have the quorum. Okay.
Chair, as a co-chair, I just wanted to raise 2 points.
Okay.
One is, can we request that we receive an explanation why we're only getting this report now? The oversight was done in the middle of last year. It would help if we get an explanation, because, Chair, this would impact for me on our recommendations in the legacy report as well. Please, Chair. That would be my one question, Chair. My second question would relate to the legacy report as well, which is related to the recommendations. If we look at the recommendations that we have made, just by way of example, on page 17, if we look at the second bullet from the top, from the bottom, it says it should be emphasized that the success of the district would require a concerted effort.
Sorry, what's in the
bottom? From the bottom of page 17, the second bullet. It should be emphasized that the success of the district would require a concerted effort. Now, whoever comes after us, leads there, they're not going to know exactly what are we recommending there. I would just want to say, Chair, that we have to ask our support staff that we find, maybe they can talk to each other about how exactly we formulate the recommendations, because where I come from, Chair, the recommendations becomes a key element of the report. When we do oversight, what is important is what we recommend from what our experiences has been. So recommendations are very important. And maybe the staff can give us feedback on that as well. And let us be honest and be open to critique how we have been operating. Not because we are attacking each other, but because we want to improve on the way we do things. That's it, Chair.
Okay. are you back? No, that's fine. Now we have a quorum. Otherwise, we're waiting for Mthethwa to join us. Otherwise, for now we're dealing with the legacy report, the oversight report. But after that, then we'll deal with the legacy report. We're delaying the issue of the final mandates on the bill. Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, Chair, just disciplined your member. He's coming.
Thank you, Chair. Last year, after 10 days, we submitted a draft report to all members to look at the report, and we requested them to give us their input, and we never got that. And then after that, we were busy with the legislation. We didn't get time to do the report. So we kept on sending them, requesting the input, and we never get any input. That's the reason why we are only doing the report now. Even last week, I also requested the input from the delegation. I never received any input.
I think it's important that that should be recorded, Chair.
I think the
other point that I think the content advisor will have to look at this issue of crafting the recommendation so that it doesn't confuse the six parameters. Can we then go to KwaZulu-Natal, the oversight to KwaZulu-Natal? Oversight report, page 1. I know Honorable Faba got sick in KZN, so he could not complete the oversight visit to KwaZulu-Natal. We're dealing with the oversight report to KwaZulu-Natal. Remember when you got sick there?
That was the last day.
Yeah.
On the last day.
Was it the last day?
Yeah,
okay.
Because they tried to poison me.
Thursday. Thursday, Mr. Faber.
Can we deal then with the report page by page? Page 1. Page 2. Page 3.
Yeah.
Page 4.
Sorry, Chair. Just on page 2.
Page 2.
Okay. Sorry, Chair. All right. I wanted to do a trade board, and okay. I see they've just put it differently.
That's fine, Chair.
Chair, I did not get the copy.
Martin, can you please make sure that members have committee, report, oversight report?
Yes.
Especially from his province.
I'll give you mine.
It's amended. It's amended.
I'll also give him all the documents, including the final mandate.
Yeah.
I should go to the next hour.
That's good.
Order. Page 3. Page 3. Page 4. I hope you got the documents, Honorable Chair.
No.
Oh, it does. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Page 8. Page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14, page 15, with the national land for the amendment, please. B70. Now it's 70 because of the processes that it's been going through. The last time we met during the Select Committee of Trade and International Relations, we requested just a few minutes from the chairperson, and we went through the C-list. You remember that time we were going through the C-list of the amendments that we agreed upon. And now the C-list went to the provinces. Now the provinces have come back with the final mandate. When I was checking with the committee secretary, the provinces that have not yet submitted their final mandate, some will still be having their sitting this week. For example, Free State will only be sitting on Friday, the 22nd. Northwest will be submitting tomorrow on Wednesday. But at least we have the majority of provinces submitting. But let me also indicate, honorable members, that remember last time we had a meeting, one of the issues that we discussed was the concern that was raised by SALGA. We had asked our parliamentary legal advisor to meet with the legal advisors of SALGA, and there were discussions, and she then reported back to us that there were no consensus, and then we agreed that we were then going to continue as normal with our process of lawmaking. But then SALGA wrote to the chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, still raising the concern. There was a meeting at the SALGA head offices. The delegation was led by the chairperson of the NCP. Unfortunately, I couldn't join the meeting because of logistical problems. But then I was briefed of the outcome. And also this morning, we met with the chairperson and the chief whip of the council. And I just gave them the update with regard to how many mandates we had received. At the time this morning, I could only report that we had 4 mandates, but now we have, I think, six mandates. But then the advice was that we should assess with regard to how many mandates we have. If we have enough, then we continue with the meeting as normal. So that is the update. So we'll continue with the meeting as normal. As a committee, if we pass, depending on the number of mandates, then we will pass the bill today, this morning. So therefore, the approach will be to go through the mandates. After that, we go through the B7D bill, the clause by clause, and then we adopt the report, and then we're done with this bill. Then it will be up to the leadership whether it is then programmed for consideration by the plenary. So that is going to be the process with regard to this bill. Agreed? Okay. Can we continue again? Let's ask Honorable Makwebu to take us through the Eastern Cape final mandate. The one page document. As you got the bundle of documents, supposed to be just a one page letter.
Can you give me one, Tikhara, in Ayla?
Ayla.
It was about Nabuk. Ipalwe ngomhla we 12 March 2019 isuka ePondweni naseMpuma Koloni ithetha ngohlobo. Vote of legislature. The province votes in favor of the bill and mandates the Eastern Cape permanent delegate to the SOP to vote in favor of this bill. Yasayinwa ke usomlomo wePondo the legislature uTata Mlibo Qhoboshiyane ngomhla we 12 March 2019.
Thank you very much. As I indicated that we're doing the alphabetical, the next province alphabetical is Free State. Free State will only be having their sitting on the 22nd. So we're going to Gauteng.
Chair Gauteng had the final deliberation on the 8th of March, and the provincial legislature supports the principle and detail of the bill and votes in favour of the National Land Transport Amendment Bill. It is signed by the Speaker, the Honourable Mekwe, on the 8th of March 2019. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. KwaZulu Natal.
Thank you, Chair. I'm reading the final mandate from that province of KwaZulu Natal. The KwaZulu Natal deliberations Tuesday, 19 March 2019, vote in favor. The KwaZulu Natal legislature met today, Tuesday, the 19 March 2019, agreed to mandate the KwaZulu Natal delegation to the National Council of Provinces to support the National Land Transport Amendment Bill. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Limpopo.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Limpopo final mandate. The date of the deliberation was on the 14th of March 2019, signed by the Honorable Polivi Shielo, which is the Speaker of the Legislature, on the 16th of March 2019. What they are saying is that, having noted the proposed amendments, the Portfolio Committee resolved to confer a final mandate to vote in favor of the bill, Bill B7D 2016. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Chair, because of the PMG and the recording, allow me to respectfully correct Honorable Mihala.
Okay.
It's not the Portfolio Committee mandate that we're looking at, it's the provincial legislature, which is the first page of the document that I have.
Okay, yeah, for the legislature.
What is the correction?
Not the Portfolio Committee, but the legislature.
Can I request the chairperson to check the final mandate on the next page? Yes. Yeah, this is the final mandate.
Having noted the proposed amendment, the Portfolio Committee resolved to confer final mandate to vote in favor of the bill.
What is this?
Okay. Can we go to Mpumalanga? Any volunteer for Mpumalanga?
The mandate as per the Mandate Procedure Act was signed by the Speaker of Mpumalanga Legislature, and the vote of the legislature, the Portfolio Committee on Public Works, Road and Transport, Community Safety and Security License, after consideration of the National Land Transport Amendment Bill, confers on the permanent delegate representing Mpumalanga in the NCOP a mandate to vote in favor. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Next one is Northern Cape. Northern Cape.
No delegate.
Thank you, Chair.
Can I ask if there's another case? Moving in and out today, so I don't think he's ready to read the message.
Chairperson, yes. Can I go on without being disturbed? Thank you, Chair. Yes, Chairperson, the name of the bill is the National Land Transportation Amendment Bill, and I see that the legislator votes in favour of the bill.
Thank you very much. Honourable Teflats.
Yeah. Chairperson, thank you. The Western Cape, they met on the 14th of March, and apparently they had a change of mind. Because in the negotiating mandates they voted in favour, and now I see in this one they authorised me not to support the amendment bill, and apparently that was after they took note of, you know, for instance, the Sauga report and so on. But they are not voting in favour, Chairperson, and it is duly signed by the Honourable Shana Fernandez, the Speaker of the Western Cape. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. So those are the mandates that we have received. So there are seven mandates that we have received. Out of seven, six are voting in favor. One is voting against. Two have not yet submitted, the Free State and Northwest. We hope that by the time we go to the plenary, they would have submitted by that time. So the majority, therefore, of the provinces are voting in favour, and therefore the bill is adopted, is agreed to.
Chairperson, so there will be no deliberations from the committee as such on the final mandates as well?
No, because it's Section 76. What happened is that now what I'm going to do, I'm going to go through the bill itself, clause by clause, and see if we agree with all the clauses. But also, even with that, because it's 76, the final mandate has been accepted. But that is the procedure in the committee, that we go through the bill clause by clause, and after that then I will read the committee report and see if you agree with the committee report, and then when it goes to the House, provinces are free to make declaration on the bill. So whatever views then you have, those would be part of the declaration.
Chairperson, but with due respect, if we're going to go through it clause by clause, yeah, and that we've already now decided that there's a majority of provinces that voted in favour of this bill, what is the use for us going through this bill clause by clause? If we can't give any inputs, it doesn't make any sense to me. Then I'm wasting my time sitting here listening to you going through it clause by clause. If we did it before, deliberated on it, and then made a decision on it, I can sit and listen to it. But with due respect, I am wasting my time, which I could use. If you're going to go through it and we can't deliberate on it, that's going to make as an outcome, then we're wasting our time. This is the unfortunate part of it.
It's not the first time that we're dealing with Section 76 bills, and we have been dealing with Section 76 bills the same way. The last bill that we dealt with as this committee, that was the Section 76 bill, was the ARTO bill, and our approach was similar. But let me just ask Mrs. Notando, so to go straight there, can you just explain the process for the benefit of the
community?
Chair? Just before you...
No, Chair. Can I have a minute? Because we agreed on this bill.
Yeah, if you were 5 minutes
but why is it necessary to discuss this?
Can I ask for the legal advice?
No, Chair. Yeah, unfair.
I'm sorry.
For us all. Just for one member.
No, we're not, I'm not responding to him, just for the benefit of the committee. So because I was
indicating that it's not the first time that this committee has dealt with Section 76, and our approach has always been the same. Even with the final mandate that we've received, we would then go through the bill itself, and then we adopt the report. And then if any province has an issue with the bill in the House, it would make a declaration. For example, on the Arto bill, this is how we dealt with it. In the House, Western Cape was opposed to the Arto bill. And then they made a declaration in the House on the Arto bill. And then after that, there was also a declaration by the Eastern Cape in the House. I know Honorable Wana made a declaration on behalf of the province on this bill and on the Arto bill. But then after that, provinces voted in favor, 8 provinces voted for the Arto bill. So that was a process that we adopted before I allow any other. Can we just get the development on the process?
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to everyone. Chair, there is nothing in the Act that tells us how to do this process, except for how we should deal with negotiating and final mandates. It's a practice of the committee on how the committee deals with the bill. It's not in legislation. So if the committee has dealt it that way before, because then I think I should continue doing it with that way. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Makua, then Honourable Faber.
Chair, I've learned in the last 5 years that we have a rule book. In terms of rules 1712 of the NCOP, there is a process that informs us as chairpersons what we must do in our report. Rule 171-2. And there's from A to G. We have 7 points that tells us what exactly we need to do. And the process that we have been pursuing, Chair, as chairpersons, was to say that when we look at the bill, there may have been amendments. And what we do now is to just refresh the members to say these are the amendments. So that when we take our mandates to the House, we as a committee have gone through it. If the members feel there is no need to go through it, they understand the amendments, we can give you that directive as a chairperson. But as chairperson, I think if I was in your position, Chair, I would have followed Rule 1712. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Father.
Chairperson, I want to in a way agree that my agreement would be as such that if you as chairperson read through the bill to us where the changes was, I accept that because the provinces according to the mandates has accepted that. But there cannot be any deliberations then on that, because then the provinces will have to then go, as Honorable Makui said, go and as a province then come and speak in the House on or they are against it or with it or whatever the situation might be on that. But then we cannot deliberate on those changes here anymore. Then you can read it through to us and we don't even give inputs, because after the mandate has been done, you cannot then give inputs anymore. Thank you, Chair.
Just, let me just go through the report, because we dealt with the mandate in the C lists previously. So let me rather then instead of going through the bill itself, because it's a very difficult but given also the advice from the legal advisor that there's no legislation that require us. It's just the practice of the committee. So let me then go to the report that then the South must adopt, and once it is adopted, then it will be 86. The report of the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development on the National Land Transport Amendment Bill, B7D 2016, Section 76, dated 19 March 2019. The Select Committee on Economic and Business Development, having considered the National Land Transport Amendment Bill, B7D 2016, Section 76, referred to it, report that it has agreed to the bill with amendments. The bill seeks to amend the National Land Transport Act 2009 to insert certain definitions and amend others to provide for non-motorized and accessible transport to bring the Act up to date with the developments since the implementation of the Act, to provide for certain powers of provinces to conclude contracts for public transport services, to expand the powers of the minister to make regulations and introduce safety measures. Further, the envisaged Act seeks to prescribe criteria and requirements for municipalities to enter into contracts for public transport services, to amend other transport-related legislation to bring it into line with the Act. Furthermore, to clarify or simplify various provisions or solve problems that have arisen since the implementation of the Act, and to provide for matters connected therewith. With regard to the process followed by the committee, the National Land Transport Amendment Bill, B7D 2018 Section 76, was referred to Select Committee on Economic and Business Development on April 2018. I see there's a change of the year. It was 2016, now it's 2016. To the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development on the 24th April 2018. The Department of Transport was invited to brief the committee on the 5th June 2018. The committee advertised the bill for 2 weeks, inviting all interested stakeholders to submit written submissions. Further, the advert indicated whether stakeholders would like to make oral submissions. The committee facilitated public participation and received 11 submissions prior to the closing date, and only one submission received after the closing date. All the submissions were considered. Further, all submitters were invited to make oral submissions. Only 9 submitters availed themselves to make oral presentations, and 3 submitters declined. On the 9th October 2018, Department of Transport responded on the submission received, and 12th and 19th February 2019, the committee deliberated on the content of the bill. The committee further reports that all the issues raised during the public hearings were considered, including the advice of the department. Having considered the matters raised, the committee agreed to adopt the bill with amendments as follows. Clause 6, so I'm not going to go through this because these are the issues or the sections or clauses that were in the decision. So I'm not going to go through that. So that is a report, Honourable Members. I don't know if you have copies in front of you.
Yes, sir.
Have members got copies of the report?
No. Do you have them?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Now that we have read the report to us as a committee, according to Rule 171, the one that was put in by the Honorable Makua, 2 Subsection 8 says the committee must say whether it recommends approval of the bill with or without amendment. So I want to say I really want to approve the bill with amendment. And that's the other thing I want to advise Western Cape. If ever they can again change their mind when we are going to the House, they are free to support it.
We're dealing now with the report, Honourable Faba. Are we adopting the report?
Chairperson, please, can you ask the House Chairperson to behave, please? Thank you, Chair. Let's end this Parliament in a good way. Chairperson, yes, this is also our last meeting on this committee. Yes, Chairperson, from the DA, we feel that the amendments and inputs that was given on this legislation process to where we are now, specifically with the SALGA legal opinion that we listened to as well on this, that it should have actually been brought back to the National Assembly, as there's no rush to really rush this bill through. So on this report, the DA members, and I think on the report, we as DA members can have our names recorded that we don't agree with this. Thank you, Chair.
This is Section 36, Honourable Farmer. So,
correct. On the bill, we cannot, but on the report, we can have our names.
Chairperson. Can we have a second? I'm just dealing with a second. Honourable Jikhale, move for the. Can we have for the adoption of the report? Can we have a second?
Chair, I wanted to propose just two amendments to sharpen the report. Maybe we can vote on the acceptance and then vote on the amendment separately. If that being the case, Chair, I want to second that we accept it, provided that we look at the two amendments as well, Chair. It's not changing the report. It's just to sharpen things on the report. If you want to, I can deal with it within half a minute, Chair.
What we're going to say.
Chair, there where you make reference in the report to the municipalities, I think it's going to be important there to just note that there were concerns raised by SALGA. That's the one, Chair. The second one is where you talk about the submissions. You talk about 12 submissions. I think it might be necessary to just put a clause there to say, further to the submissions made in the National Assembly, the NCOP Select Committee received 12 submissions, something to that extent, Chair. Then I'm happy with it, Chair. Thank you very much.
On that basis, we can then agree on such a report.
Okay. That includes the concerns that were raised by...
Chairperson, as I say, we as individual DA members cannot, as you say, it's a Section 76, we cannot now give our inputs on the bill. But, as I said, on the report, as members of this committee, we can say that we will agree with the report or not. And as Honourable Makuwe was just saying, if we look at the different amendments and inputs from provinces, if we agree that that is in such a report with a SALGA opinion, then we as DA members can agree on such a report.
No, I'm not going to entertain this point, because I'm saying that we're dealing here with Section 76. If you were in the NA, you would do that as a party, because there you're not voting as provinces. But here we're voting as provinces, because it's Section 76. Now we're adopting the report, and I was indicating to you, if there are any issues that you want to raise, you can influence the provinces to make declaration with regard to those issues. But here we're not dealing with parties. Can't come in and say ANC was saying this, you know, the EFF was saying this or this. If we were dealing with Section 75, then I would allow you with regard to the minority report. We're not dealing with minority report, because it's not Section 75.
That's just individual statement.
No, where do you base that on? Because we do things with regard to the rules. So I understand that then the report has been adopted with the amendments that were raised by Honorable Makuwe. So we're done with this bill. I see that you want to say something, but then you will reserve it. Honorable Deputy Vice
Chair, I follow the debate and discussions. If it was not the amendment or proposed made by my learning friend on my right, on my left, that says you're talking about local government. And in your report, you not reflecting what it was raised in by local government sector. And that to me, it's also bordering on other issues. But with the amendment that you have made, I think I'm comfortable, because remember, writing a report is because you reflect on the journey that you have traversed. And that journey, there were issues raised, and which it must then help to take a decision. And it can't be proper that as an association we haven't raised issues, and we said it's unconstitutional, and you've got your own views about it. And it will be prudent that such views to be expressed in the report, so that you are open and transparent. But I think my learned friend on my left, he has covered all his recommendation in terms of crafting or the report.
All right, perhaps no, it's covered. In the report, it's just that when I look at the page, next page, it just has a list of the issues that we dealt with in the cities. But it is preceded by this point that you raised. I'm sorry, I didn't read that part. Because when I turned the page, my eyes went straight to the clauses, the list of clauses that were in the C list.
Chairperson, this is for that reason. Sorry that I don't want to jump in.
We must raise our hands before
my hand was trying to. You don't have eyes behind your head. I thought my hand was not long ago, Chairperson. Chairperson, yes, this is exactly my point. If it is said in the report, then I don't have a problem with that. But it must be in the report. Because if it's not in the report, it is not a true reflection of the processes that followed. And this is all I'm trying to say. Thank you, Chair.
What will happen, I think the report itself, Sisnolta, with your assistance on the report, maybe you should be specific in terms of the areas that SALGA is raising, in terms of the section that they're referring to, and also your response to those issues, and we'll leave it at that. As a problem, I mean, Honourable McWay, sorry, we had your...
Thank you, Chair. Just three quick points. The one is to my comrade from SALGA. I am to your left, but I'm not Leonard. We are learning. Chair, seriously, my second point is a very important one, Chair. Because you need to help clear me and our legal advisor. If we have made amendments on 76, that bill has got to go back to the NA. Am I right?
I don't know. They want to discuss further what is the decision of the meeting now. Because I was indicating that hear them saying that SALGA, together with other submitters, they made a submission, and they treated all the same. But it doesn't end there. Then SALGA raised concerns. So that's why now it's a bit of being special. Because I hear that they say SALGA is not special. I heard that, so I'm saying especially in the sense that after even the submission, then they raised the concern. Even if it was another organization that was raising concerns outside those processes of submission, we would have to take that concern into account as a special case. So therefore, I don't think we need to be discussing this officially. Please, let's just do what the committee is deciding.
Chairperson? I want clarity, just Chairperson. On a point of clarity, I mean, there's so many points. I'm not going to try the evil points, but they're not here to defend themselves. Yeah, Chairperson, I just want to make sure there was amendments on this bill, if I'm correct. So if there was amendments, then obviously it has to go back to the Portfolio Committee to look at the amendments. Am I correct on that part?
Yes. You're raising the same point that was raised by Honorable Makua.
I just want clarity, Chair.
Going back to the end.
And they will then look at that.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair.
You know, the problem is that, Honorable Father, you don't complete the meeting. You attend the meetings and leave during the discussions, and now you don't know what was discussed when you were not there. So this issue has been repeated in every meeting, that once we have amendments, and then those amendments will then have to go back to the NA. In fact, it's a procedure. It's not even something that we should be repeating in the meetings. It's there in the constitution.
Listen, but then with due respect, then the province must say that they agree on this bill with the amendments. It's not standing like that. This is why I'm raising the chair first.
No, in the report it says the
bill is adopted with amendments.
But not on one of the mandates.
No, it doesn't have to be in the mandates. It doesn't have to be in the mandates of the province, because they would not know about those issues.
I want to clarify my colleague here, my learning friend. We are looking forward. It's only the advocates who are learned. You know what we are learning. According to the rule that we are reading, Chairperson, we have the power of the committee to support the recorder and the amendment. So I want to say, let's leave it like the way our Chairperson was putting it, so that we don't end up discussing everything. So Kalga is part of us, part of the committee, even though they don't have the voting power, but they have the power as they have put it forward like that. So your table staff must not take our power away from us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We done with this bill, honourable members. The committee has adopted the bill, and it is recommended that the plenary should pass the bill. And the report itself will be then 80 seats. Once it is 80 seats, the WIPARI will then program it. We aim that it be tabled in the House on the 28th of March. Once it is adopted by the House, and then it will go back to the NA. But obviously, it will have to go back to the NA in the Sixth Parliament, because tomorrow is the last day for the NA. I'm sure Mr. Patel is aware about that. I see you. You are shocked. But Mr. Patel, I'm sure, is aware of the process. At this stage, I'd like, because we now going to just continue with the other business. Thank the department for introducing the bill, and we have gone through the processes of the bill, and today the committee has adopted and passed the bill with the amendments. Thank you very much. We are going to continue because we have packed the legacy report. We'll just continue with the legacy report, and then we're done with our meeting, honourable members. Mr. Patel.
We just like to thank you, Chair, and we would also like to thank the whole of the Select Committee for processing this bill. Thank you very much.
Can we now deal with the legacy report? Honourable members, I don't think I'm going to go through page by page on this one. Martin is laughing at me. Maybe he was wondering if I was going to do this, because it's got 78 pages.
With your permission, and if the House allows,
yes,
can we look only at the recommendations that comes from us as members of this committee that we want to carry over as lessons that we have learned to the committee that will be succeeding us, Chair? I shall propose.
We agree that
we should look at it.
Yes, we are.
Okay. A big report. So the suggestion is that we look at the recommendation that we were making. But what we were also discussing in the management committee was that given that we, this is a legacy report that must go to the sixth parliament, and we're not sure how then the committees will be structured in the sixth parliament. It's not going to make sense to table this report maybe to a select committee that maybe has only two departments of the committees that were part of this. So the best way also is that we said to the content advisor in particular that he should then, after the adoption of this report, look at each department legacy report, the issue that we're dealing with regards, for example, to transport, their APPs over the period, their annual reports, the legislation that affect transport, the oversight that we conducted with regard to transport, right? The issues that came out of oversight that relate to transport departments. Then there would be that legacy report just on transport. So that if the transport goes to another committee, and then that report will then go to that specific department, rather than giving them a report like this, and when some of the departments have got nothing to do with that particular committee, that will be a new committee in the sixth parliament. So I just thought, let me first raise that point before we continue with the report. Is that fine? Can we then go to the...
But you can't leave us here because I don't know where you go to before you go. Just tell us
where
you go.
Sorry, the chairperson is human. Honourable members, if you will allow me, because I had it on top of my head, if I can give you one example of what I thought is some lesson to be included in the legacy report. Mm. Now, I'm speaking from a party political position, but I think it applies to all parties. We in the NCOP are the smallest number of the members of our different parties. And what happens is that we find that very often things are decided in the National Assembly and almost like imposed on us. If I can give you two areas. The one is in our study groups. Because in our select committee here, if I look at Honorable Faber, it's impossible to participate in the six departments of this when the DA has study groups on them. But I think that we need to apply our minds. I would, for example, say that members of this select committee would need to participate, one member need to participate in at least one study group. Because then you get the sense of the dynamics within the NA. I must tell you that the study group that I've participated in DTI, it's been wonderful in terms of helping me understand the dynamics within that department and bring it to our experience in this committee. So that would be one of my first recommendations, that we try and find a way in which we can, this is the way I formulated, Grace, we can improve the communications in terms of the implementation of work within the departments between the NCOP and the National Assembly members of Parliament. Let's hear from members. Honourable Faber, any other member? Let's have more. I see Honourable Chair, after you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. As you, the Chair, now. I have to agree with you on that, Chairperson. You know, if we just take a simple bill, this last night, what we were busy with right now, if the National Assembly Portfolio Committee from the start had the inputs from SALGA and worked on it, I really don't think we would have sat at the point where we were today. And the reality is the connection between the NCOP and the NA Portfolio Committees
is not in place as it should be. How many of these bills have happened that it comes to us, and with due respect, the NHS just wants us to rubber stamp? And I think, and I must give you an honourable high pat on the shoulder to say, we were not just there to rubber stamp it. And I think we as members here, maybe you sometimes think that it's a very political way of trying to do things, but sometimes we really did not take a party position, but the position of how we really feel this can affect the people on the ground. And for that reason, I must say, I think you and Honourable Khai really came to forward to not just let us be a rubber stamp committee, which I really appreciate. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Thaba. Honourable Ntebe.
I'm not sure if Honourable Thaba was speaking on the issue that you raised. But yes, my discomfort with the suggestion about the study groups. Study groups, in my understanding, study groups are party political issues. So how study groups are formulated in their functionality should be left to the political parties. So I am of the view that the functionalities and the composition of study groups are important. However, in the legacy report, which is going to be an institutional report, should not go that far. My political party will decide where do I reside in terms of the study group and where do I perform. So that's maybe I might be wrong. You are at liberty to correct me, but study groups are party political platforms and they should be left as such. Thank you, Chair.
Touch this part, Honourable Mako, just conclude with it.
I just want the last part. I do understand what Honourable Ntebe was saying. That yes, we also have our political study groups on each portfolio, so we do get the political part. But I do believe that there should be an interaction study group, a political study group, as Honourable Eddie was saying to us here, where we can really get information to apply our minds as well. Because we are not just representing, let's be quite honest, we're not the National Assembly, and I think Honourable Ntebe is maybe want to go there, to the NA or maybe to the province or something. But in the NCOP, we are representing also on Section 76 bills, the province, and not just political parties. So for that reason, I do believe there should be also, as Honourable Eddie was saying, a study group maybe where the NCOP and NA members can get together to form a study group on a portfolio.
But I'll never agree with, so study group will not make us agree.
Yeah, I thought that Honourable Mako was going to go, and I'm a bit lost because I don't know what was for.
No, Chair, I think let's leave it like that. Because the dilemma here is that we're debating the example. Let's check with the Honourable Ntebe if he agrees with the principle.
Yes.
The principle is that the relations and the communication between the committees of the NA and the committees of the NCOP, if they are functioning properly, can increase the effectiveness of Parliament.
That is a learned statement.
Not Chair, I fully agree. But we must also agree that the two Houses of Parliament are distinct, yet they are complementary. So let's remain with the relative independence of the Houses, but we must be complementary in the nature in which we work. Now, my issue was on the issue of the study groups, that I'm presenting myself to the Committee for Correction. The study groups in their own formation, they are party political and they should be left as such. But how the two Houses of Parliament should be working, we must know that we have relative independence and independence from each other. However, we must be able to be complementary. So if we agree on that, I'm comfortable.
Thank you.
Nabramaku?
Chair, it's not in my character or in my politics to be opportunistic, but sometimes I have to be praying on the relationship. We have these two committees with the same two groups of members in both committees. I have been hamstrung. When we always have our management committee meetings together. We bring the staff and the chairpersons of the two committees together. When we had our last management committee meeting, where we looked at the legacy report, I had to attend another meeting. So I could not be in that meeting. I rendered an apology to the Honorable High on that. But therefore, I wish to make this comment, Chair, that members would not say, why didn't you raise it in the management meeting? If we look at two of our oversight visits, the one to Singapore and the planned one to, where was it, Sweden or Norway? Norway. If we look at the one to Singapore, Singapore and Malaysia, and the one that was cancelled, the one to Singapore and Malaysia, we traveled on that Easter Saturday, you remember? And the Honorable Ntebe was particularly affected by that. Because what happened was that the manager of the committee had to intervene with the secretary and with the two secretaries, with Grace and Pruvada, and engage in last-minute arrangements with the travel agencies. And I'm saying, Chair, Honorable Dihale will back me on this one, these international study tours, I said oversight, international study tours are very important for the committee members. But we find that our study tours are being jeopardized because of something within Parliament that's not working. I can't put my finger on it. But just to then say in our legacy report that something must be done in order to allow the committees to engage in their study tours without the obstacles that have been experienced by these two committees. If we look at the Norway one, Chairman, just to put it for the record, everything was sorted until I get a call from somebody in Norway to say, but we're on a Sunday evening, to say we're expecting you on Wednesday. And when we investigated, without pointing a finger, we heard that the arrangements were not done. That study tour never happened. With the result that the whole idea of a second study tour for this committee. So, you know, 5 years, if I have it properly, we've done one study tour. Am I right? Yeah. In 5 years, one study tour. And that deprives the members of the committee of a very important international contribution that we can make, particularly because it was a joint committee that also looked at international relations and cooperation. So my proposal then, as I've said earlier on, Chair, is that attention must be given to the obstacles that result in this committee being unable to engage effectively in international study tours. That's my second recommendation, Chair, and I conclude my contribution on that.
Perhaps once we are on the issue of study tours, I noted you, Honourable Stephen. While we are on the issue of study tours, perhaps I know that our staff sometimes they assist with regard to papers, with regard to, say, the areas that we are visiting. What I want to suggest is that we should also make preparations in future. If, for example, we are to visit, let's say, a harbor in a country, want to learn how, remember in Singapore we visited the hub. So we need to have an input as to what is the current situation with our own harbors as a country, so that we also say we're not only going there to listen to what they are doing or saying with regard to issues of harbor, for example. We must be able to say this is what is happening. For example, with national port authority, this is, you know, in how the ports are managed, so that we also share from our side with them. If we visiting, let me make an example about, this issue of ocean economy, must be able to say what is happening in our country with regard to the ocean economy, so that members also have an understanding. And then when they ask questions, when we meet with our counterparts, they compare with what was. Most of the time, I observe that when we visited Singapore and Malaysia, we did not have our own documents as what is happening in our country, so that we make comparison best practices, for example, and so that they also learn from ourselves, you know, that we're only going there to learn from them without sharing. For example, we visited, one institution there that was dealing with the small businesses. I'm saying that perhaps we need to be saying what is the situation with regard to small business development in our own country, and then so that we then compare with what they are doing with regard to small business development, or even cooperatives for that matter. What is it that we are doing, even if it's very little that we are doing as a country? But then we'll compare with them. For example, how much are we investing on cooperatives in South Africa? And then when we go to Malaysia, we find out, or Singapore, how much they are investing in the cooperative sector. So I wanted to suggest that also in the legacy report under study TOS, those are the issues that we must put in. I wanted to suggest, honourable members, because most of the issues here in this report are joint in their nature, whether you're talking about oversight within the country or you're talking study tours, that we don't conclude in this meeting on those areas, so that if members have ideas as well, they can bring those ideas. And I wanted to suggest that in the last meeting of the trade and international relations, specifically those areas that are joint in their nature, we then finalize those in the meeting of the 26th of the trade and international relations. And, but then if there are issues that are specific to the Committee on Economic and Business Development, we can then raise those issues. But those that are joint in nature, we give enough chance to members to develop ideas in terms of the recommendation. I'm not cutting the recommendations that you wanted to make. Those that you have already with you, you can share them with the committee. But also there's a, we're trying to give more time so that members, if they have ideas to think about, they can bring those in the meeting of the 26th as well. Honourable
Chair, after me, I will be sitting on the chair where you are sitting. And I will be wanting to know, since the term of office of the Fifth Parliament, what is it that the committee achieved, which commonly it will be referred to as a legacy, both locally and internationally? I think I'm seeing focus in the international. There are certain views that I agree with that, because once you engage in the study tour, it means immediately when it says it's a study tour, it's an exchange of views and experiences. And therefore, like for instance, we had just hosted Tunisian government in the recent past, learning from South Africa about how did we achieve the journey that we have arrived at today. I think it's one focus. The second focus is that I would love, this is an issue that I've raised to the chair of the NCOP, I would love as you going out and handing over to me, taking over, is that what have you done as a committee in assisting local government as a legacy, which it must reflect both at the economic point of view and on service delivery and proper management practice that it must be imparted to the sector in terms of performing its duty, which its performance, it's used as a mirror into the two houses, both provincial and national government. In terms, if you read section 154 of the Constitution, that you are required as a house to provide support to municipalities to perform their duty. Now, as a legacy, what have we done when it comes to that constitutional directive? It's not a matter of choice. It's a directive of constitution that requires these other levels of government begin to provide that support. I think the issue of legacy, to me, it's broader than like going to a shop and buy a bread and say you have a bread. It's about how sustainable that project and program taking into the future and experiences that you have engaged on insofar as learning from other countries, insofar as how did they perform their duties. I thought it would be important. One issue that I'm always raising is that the unique nature of this house called NCOP and how does it characterize itself in reflecting to the challenges that our communities are facing. So I thought, let me raise those issues. Generally, I think I accept some of the ideas that you suggested.
Perhaps what do we need to be doing is that, I think you're raising important points, but the challenge was that there are two challenges I think we're facing, especially when it comes to local government, is that because there's a select committee on local government, I mean the member who's running away now, not necessarily running away, going out, is the acting chairperson of COCTA, which also include the local government. Perhaps the tendency will then be to leave all local government related matters to that committee. But you're coming with a good point here, that we should broaden our scope, all the committees. For example, if we invite the Department of Transport, we must also talk about the municipal transport and ask what is the role and the contribution of Department of Transport with regard to the municipal transport. I'm just making an example about municipal transport. But also, if we invite the Department of Economic Development, we need to be finding out what is it that the Department of Economic Development doing with regard to local economic development. Just that perhaps we would just focus on Department of Economic Development as a department and what it is doing as a department without relating it to, sometimes we even we would go as far as what it is doing in the provinces. We normally would end there. We would not take it further and ask what is it doing in the local government sphere. When we visited Limpopo last year as part of our oversight, we discovered that, for example, the municipality, the district municipality, told us there that the issues, because we also invited departments, they said the issues that were being raised by departments, they were hearing about them for the first time. The things that the departments were doing in their own district, but the municipalities were not aware of the things that the departments were doing. You know, so therefore it shows that there is a gap. But also, the municipalities were also indicating that when they develop IDPs, these departments that are doing work in the municipalities, they don't, and they're not there so that as part of the IDPs, they say this will be our contribution in terms of development plans of the municipalities. They're working on the in the municipalities without informing the municipalities the work that they're doing. Two, they're not there when the municipalities are developing their plans to say this will be our contribution as Small Business Development Department, this is our contribution. So they're not doing that. So I'm saying perhaps this should be then part of also our recommendation for the sixth parliament. But also we need to emphasize as well on your part, because the custodian of a local sphere. So if then you also attend committees, then you also have that responsibility of bringing these issues to the attention of members of the committees as well as to the department and entities that are invited. So I think you don't only come here, Honorable Stoffel, when there's this controversial issue about the legislation.
When you want to fight about ESCOM and the transport.
Yeah, you see. But you must budget. I know you may have the challenges of budget as well. You must also budget for select committee meetings so that you are part of these meetings. Next 2 years as a social service department, it deals with the issues of human settlements that affect, you may ask them, what is it that you're doing with regard to municipalities? We're not talking about human settlements because there's another committee there. So therefore you should also be spread throughout these committees and raise the challenges that you're facing at the local government level with regard to these issues. So I just wanted to highlight those points that I agree with you. But honourable members, going back to the report and also the point that I was raising, that perhaps we should not conclude in this meeting here, but we should perhaps have ideas. But I wanted just a framework that perhaps with regard to the study tours, let me start with the study tours. Let's have ideas. Already Honorable Mako has highlighted the issues. I've also highlighted issues that we should, when we go to this country, once we know what the area that we'll be visiting, we should also be armed with our own information with regard to what is happening in our country so that we have the comparisons. That's what I wanted to study. But if there are any other issues that we want to highlight with regard to study tours, including the issues of administration, but also the issues that when we arrive there, so that we don't end up having only one or two people raising questions when we meet with our counterparts, because others are not prepared, they don't know. So even with the information, if we were to say go in the next 3 months to say China, for example, we must know the economic situation of China, but also sectors, let's say manufacturing, what is happening with manufacturing, what is happening to agriculture, blah, 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 so that members have that information. But also we must have the same information with regard to what is happening with regard to manufacturing in our own country, so that we make comparison. But I'm saying that that's what we need to be doing from now until the 26th. Let's have ideas with regard to the study tours, everything about the study tours. Let's have ideas with regard to the oversight. Are we conducting the oversight very well? Is there anything else that we can do with regard to oversight? So if we have ideas on oversight, for example, other ideas would be this issue of a follow-up on the issues that are raised by the stakeholders that we do. Because they would regard this as just a compliance on our part. We visit one province, they raise issues, there's no follow-up on those issues, there's no feedback to them. The next time we go to another province, we receive the. So that this is what we're raising in the management committee, that when we table these reports in the House for adoption by the House,
what then happens that the office of the chairperson is the one that follows up with the executive. But there's no communication now between the office of the chairperson or the executive with this committee as to what happened to the issues that were then, the recommendation that were adopted in the House. We know that those recommendations go to the office of the chairperson, and then there's an interaction between the executive and the office of the chairperson. But the problem is that then there is no communication with the committee. So I think one of the recommendations that we're saying we should do, one, to ensure that there's that communication between the office of the chairperson and the committee. But also secondly, that those issues that are raised as the recommendations, they must form part of the meetings of the committee. If, for example, it invites Department of Transport, maybe on APPs, you must also, in that meeting, raise the issues that were the issues that are recommendations from the oversight that we have conducted. So we will not say that we're only dealing with APPs, but we must have the list of issues that came from any of the provinces or all the provinces that we visited in that particular period. Say, in Gauteng, these are the issues that were highlighted with regard to, for example, say, BRASA. You know, the president was delayed yesterday. If we were to conduct oversight on BRASA, these are the recommendations that we made with regard to BRASA. These are the recommendations we made on any of the issues. So that as a committee, there's a follow-up on the issues that are raised by the people that we visited. But also we should have a mechanism of how do we then make sure that those people get their report. Even if we mean, if for example, in this visit, we go together with entities or we go with departments. So we could be saying these are the recommendations, and we send those recommendations to the department, and also ask the department to go to those entities and report to them as to what they have done. Then also we monitor the department whether they have reported or taken up those issues that were raised by the stakeholders. So other than that, this oversight visit will mean nothing if there's no follow-up, but also there's no feedback to those who have raised issues of concern. So, but the point that I'm making is that let's have ideas on study talks. Let's have ideas on how we should better coordinate and organize and follow up on oversight. Then the third one is the legislation. The first thing I think we must do, the sixth parliament must do, is first to conduct an induction for members of a committee on the rules of the committee, on the practice, procedures, or the systems of a committee, and also lawmaking processes. You know, this issue that we're having during our discussion of this bill on national, so we had to ask the legal advice just on the procedure. But if all of us were inducted on these procedures, we would be knowing all these processes of lawmaking, you know, so that we don't have different ideas. As I say, now as parties, we can have express our views when it is a Section 76. So there should be clarity on such issues, you know, because we would all be knowing the law process, what is the procedure with regard to Section 76, what is the procedure, the committee approach on Section 75, even on Section 74, which is the Constitution, you know, so all those procedures we should be knowing. So I'm saying therefore there are these three areas that I'm talking about. study tolls, oversight, legislation. Perhaps the fourth one would be then the APPs. What is it? Are we dealing with the APPs of departments and entities in a correct way? Are we dealing with the annual reports of departments and entities in the correct way? And also the fact that we are unable to deal with all the departments when it comes to APPs, and also even the entities, especially this committee, which has the 6 departments, we've been unable to deal with all the departments. 1. 2, unable to deal with the 31 entities that these departments collectively they have. So how then do we make sure that how do we prioritize or strategize, and given also that the NA is doing the same thing, what is it that is different that we should be focusing on as a NC office in the community? So I'm saying that perhaps those could be the ideas that we must come up with next week, so that they are part of the legacy report to assist those will be taking over from. I'm sure PMG, I'm also answering you on your question. Are there any recommendations that in the report, or we want to start to follow the suggestion that that will come with these recommendations in terms of the points that I was raising, that it holds, this is what we're suggesting, oversight, this is what we're suggesting, legislation, this is what we're suggesting, and then ATP, and all that. Honorable Chair,
I'm not sure if we're going to be having sufficient time to do that, Chair, though the 3 areas of focus that you are raising are quite critical. But in my view, they would need a total overhaul of what do we do as a house. I can give you an example. The time and space that we take in processing records that needs to be followed up on oversight is also an issue. Because by the time you want to adopt the report so that you can give it a legal effect in terms of implementation, probably the issues that you have picked up in Gauteng when you went there, when there was an issue of housing, low-cost housing for people that was disrupted by people because they were not happy, those such issues might have been resolved. Therefore, your issue falls away. But also, oversight cut across what do we do as in terms of oversight as a house, but also as a committee. For instance, if you go for your taking parliament to the people, which is an oversight process, but you then decide on a theme. Take for an example the theme that we took when we go to Eastern Cape, which was health and education. Therefore, has a bearing on the social cluster committee, which is the custodian of such portfolio. But you go there, you have been told, now this is what is going to be done. In the next financial year, Makaula Primary School will be included, and therefore it's going to be refurbished, and this is going to be done. And quite unfortunately, you find yourself as the leader of the delegation. And therefore, people there take your number and your whatever. 2 years down the line, they want to follow up. The report is not adopted. The report has no legal effect. The things that were promised by the department are not done. You are now just in the middle of wilderness. You can't do anything. You can't even call an HOD to say, but you said that kids are not going to be stranded outside classrooms because the classrooms are full. So I think we need a total overhaul. We cannot just decide on oversight model that probably impacts on the functionality of the committee. It's to say oversight model that has been used by the House in totality. How do we change it? In terms of how do we deal with the APP, it's becoming, my worry is that it's becoming more of an academic exercise. So department just walk in, we look at the APPs, we approve them, we go to the house, that's it. Probably. I'm not sure. I know that when we started the first parliament, there was some breakaway sessions that we did. But how you implement the issues that we take through the breakaway sessions vis-a-vis how the committees are supposed to be functioning, and the pressure that you need to take as the chair when the APPs are not presented on time to the committee and the budget has to be passed and all that. So you can speak about one issue, but there are other issues that are impacting on what you are deciding on. So my suggestion, Chair, is that even though training when you start in the sixth parliament, one day training will not be sufficient. You're sitting with the learned people there within your desk. They can assist us, draft some process of what needs to be done to improve our oversight model. How do we, because legislation now is also becoming an issue. We're running through it because of the time and space that we have as a committee. And at times, when we started with the first parliament, some of the legislation had to be reversed back to the committees because of the process that was rushed through. And so three areas of focus that you are raising are critical, but you need more time for you to be able to direct them so that you can be able to say, in terms of oversight, until what parameters do you deal about oversight? Do you leave other issues to the broader house, or do you deal with them in totality as the, because we don't want to sit here in our legacy report, we also decide about other select committees that are not part of the year. Thank you, Chair.
Perhaps what I agree with the Honourable Chair that it needs a broader discussion, and because it will also affect the whole functioning of NCOP as a whole. But perhaps as a committee there could be issues even if we don't conclude or deal with the whole institution. For example, that issue that he's raising, I think it's an important point, this issue of the legal effect of reports. Perhaps on that one, we could be suggesting that we should have time frames between the time that we have had the oversight visit and the adoption of the report by the committee, and then the referral of the report to the House. Because I think for now it's open-ended. The point that the Honourable Makoe was raising as to this visit where in October and another one, I think in July, if I'm not mistaken, or August, why are we only dealing with them now? I think there's a problem is that we're not tying ourselves to time frames. So I think we're not both suggesting that we need to have time frames if we visit a province. And then perhaps a week after that, we must get a draft report, and then the committee adopt the report, and then by such a time, it should be going to the House. The second issue, you know, there are other platforms that we're not utilizing, but I think the NCOP as an institution, I want to suggest that it should kind of make it an institutional a program. You sometimes get invited as a chair to MINMEC meetings, the ministers and MEC meeting, but it is not like an institutionalized kind of an arrangement. Perhaps the suggestion would be perhaps that should then be institutionalized. Perhaps that the NCOP, the chair, must take up with the leader of government business. So so that this issue, it's not just a choice of a particular department. I know the Department of Public Works, they always do that, and the Department of Labor, those are the only two committees, I mean departments. Others are not doing it. So I'm saying that perhaps we need to be making a recommendation to the chairperson, I mean to the NSOP, that the chairperson interact with the leader of government business, so that this thing is standardized throughout the departments. That will also assist, because when you meet then with the MECs and you meet with the minister, some of the issues that are coming from these oversight visits, some of them are urgent in nature. You could be utilizing those platforms as well, rather than just going there to hear what the departments are telling you what they are doing, blah, blah. You must also have something that you take from the committee with you. And those issues that you take from the committee with you will be the issues that are raised in the committee, issues that are raised in the oversight, but also issues that are raised in the taking parliament to the people that relate to our committees, for example. So those are the other platforms that we can be utilizing. But I agree with Honorable Ted that most of these issues will not only impact in this committee, but they involve other committees as well. But I was going to say we can come with the even ideas that will assist the whole institution, not just this committee. Yeah.
Chair, let me continue being opportunistic. With our colleagues from SALGA here, Chair, it's not for our report, but I think it's important in terms of our intergovernmental relations, that very often when we go into provinces to do oversight, not only as this committee, but also as the NCOP, we find that many of our councillors are not making themselves available. And we pick up things that are very informative in terms of our delivery as public servants. And because the members of local government are not there, they miss out on that. Even the briefings that we have. I mean, if we give one example, the briefing we have with the Department of Roads in the Free State, and they tell us about how they're planning to do road construction using people of the community in the project, and there's nobody there from the local government structure to benefit from that engagement. That's the one point here. This is the final one that I want to make, which would be a recommendation. You see, everything that we're doing now can become just an idyllic dream unless we give responsibility to somebody to carry this into the sixth parliament. Now, I've been applying my mind to that, Chair, and I'm not an expert of this, but thought that we may, as this committee, want to request the manager of the committee to test with the chairperson of the new committee the possibility of tabling these recommendations in a meeting of the committee in the sixth parliament. But we give that responsibility to the manager of the committee, because the secretaries of the committee can't do that. I don't think in terms of the rules they have that authority. So we give it to the manager. And the manager can either do it or leave it. But then, from our side, we are not just listing these things, but we are looking at how they could be implemented. And just by way of conclusion, the background to that, Jefferson, is here I am, having chaired both committees, I've never seen the legacy report. I know the Honorable Gamede very well. You know, who used to be the previous chairperson of Trade and International Relations. But still, I did not see the legacy report. So it would in that way then help the chairpersons of the new committee and the members of the committee to build on experiences that could be helpful. Thank you, Chair.
I think as, going back to the point that Honorable Tebe was raising, that as part of our legacy report, we need to make a recommendation that there should be perhaps a workshop on the oversight model of the NCOP, so that all these ideas then come to that discussion of the oversight model. But also include the other issue that we need to be focusing on. Also is with regard to the committee staff as well. You know, when we deal with departments or entities, whether we are assisted appropriately as members of parliament with regard to the analysis that we're getting from the staff, the research work that we receive. I had a discussion with the staff at some stage on this particular issue. And the point that was raised was that the problem is that how the staff is allocated to select committees of NCOP is a problem. A person would be perhaps will specialize on economic development. That will be the area of his or her speciality. But because of the number of departments that would be in this select committee, you expect this person to advise the committee, for example, on energy, and yet his speciality is on transport, for example. So I think it's a matter that the institution must look at how they deal with the issue of researchers in particular. Because I don't think it's a problem with the NA. I may be wrong. I suspect that each committee would have its a researcher who specializes in that particular area. You know, but then in this committee, the select committee, you have this one researcher who must advise the committee on energy, on transport, on food, on labor. You know, I suggest that this should be the issue that also make a recommendation on that the institution must also pay attention to. Yeah. Want to end up having presiding over a meeting and I've become the only person also talking.
Now what you are raising is important, Chair. But it should also be coupled with our inability on the side of the deployed Are you a cadre, Tim? Are you a deployed cadre?
Yes, I am. Yeah,
oh, okay. On the side of the deployed cadre. Because there might be limitation in terms of the staff component to make sure that all areas of focus are covered in terms of the deployment on the side of staff. But also an issue of high turnover of members in the NCOP also creates an imbalance, because you can have people who are specializing in such areas of focus, but if you bring me instead of not knowing what am I going to be doing in whatever area of speciality, it also curtails their responsibility or ability to assist us. So we might raise it, but we might also be entering a space that is not ours, because staff component is an issue of how Parliament can afford to have to employ others to. So it's an important issue, Chair, but we must just see how do we phrase it so that we don't enter the space that is not ours. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah.
Are there any points that you want to raise? Otherwise, let's stop here and attend the meeting. But as I was indicating that...
lunch?
No, unfortunately.
Not yet.
Let me take this opportunity to thank you because this is our last meeting at this committee for this 2014-2019 term. I also joined this committee. I was from another committee. I joined it in 2016. There I had this, in that committee, there were senior citizens that I was with there. I observed the difference between that committee and this one. But yes, there's a lot of teasing of each other. You know, senior citizens, they're conservative. You can imagine a meeting that is chaired by Honorable Sefako, and you have Honorable Singh, you've got Honorable Mlambo, Honorable Ketila Puskakni, Pakis. I think the youngest there was Honorable Smith, but also it's conservative, you can see. So it was a kind of a very conservative committee. But then I joined this one, I noticed that members joke. Thank you very much. Also, forgive me for maybe some of the mistakes committed during the presiding over the meetings and all that. Otherwise, it was a good committee. We worked very well all together. Thank you very much, Honorable Member.
Ik kan het nog wel lang.
Ik heb het nog wel lang. Ik heb het nog wel lang. Ik heb het nog wel lang.